The New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The world is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the word of God as it is found in Matthew. Jesus at once made the disciples to get in the boat and go ahead of him to the opposite side of the shore while he dismissed the crowds. After he had sent the crowds away, Jesus went out by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there by himself. The boat had already gone some distance from the shore and was being smashed around by the waves, since the wind was against it. At the very dead of night, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. The disciples saw him walking on the water and panicked, thinking it was a ghost, and they screamed in terror. But Jesus at once spoke to them. Jesus at once spoke to them. Cheer up, he said. It's me. Don't be frightened. If it's really you, Master, said Peter in reply, give me the word to come to you on the water. Come then, said Jesus. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. Master, he yelled, rescue me. Jesus at once reached out his hand and caught him. Fine lot of faith you've got, he said. Why did you doubt? They got into the boat and the wind died down. The people in the boat worshipped him. You really are God's son, they said. This is the word of the Lord.
Got a little tangled in my cables there, sorry. I did forget to mention earlier that Harrison, our minister, is away at the moment. He's on holiday in India until the beginning of September, so we pray for him and with him as he rests with his family and We'll hear more about his status at the end from the wardens. Now, I would like to know if there's anybody here who goes to school. Put your hands up. Oh, we have a few. Okay, let's find out. What school do you go to?
ABS Online School.
ABS Online. And you?
ABS Online.
And you?
Huygens Lyceum.
Huygens Lyceum. And are there any students here? Like, I mean, older students? Oh, there's one over here. I'm just going to walk among you. Romeo, I didn't know you were a student.
Qualify. Sports school.
Sports school absolutely qualifies. Yes. Any other older students? Oh, I can see Benjamin really wants to answer the question. Let's find out where he goes.
TUE.
Oh, TUE. Oh, that's a nice one, isn't it? Okay. What do you do at school? Oh, here we have one. Somebody does something at school, I'm glad to find out.
Learn.
You learn. You got the key word. Brilliant. Okay, let's find out, what kind of things do you learn? The adults can answer this too, you can be thinking.
At my school, we learn the gospel.
You learn the gospel, that is amazing. Imagine learning that at school, what a gift.
Maths.
That's less of a gift. Well, actually, it's a very good gift, just not mine. Any adults want to say what they learn? Do they learn? Students learn? At university? Okay, here's a big question. We've heard about some students. Are there any teachers in the room? Oh, let's find out what he teaches.
What I teach? Math.
Any problems with whether your twos and twos and sixes and sixes and X's and Y's? Talk to him. So, one more question. Well, a couple more questions, actually. How do you learn at school?
Study.
Oh, you study. And what do you study? What kind? Where do you study from? Oh, hang on, Oliver's got some.
So, at my school, we learn also from studying, but not in a very fun way.
Oh. Not selling the EBS. Does anybody learn from their teachers? Yeah, a few, yeah. Okay, one more question. Well, a double-sided question. Are there any parents in the room? Ah, very good. Now, I wonder, how did your children learn to walk? And how did they learn to ride a bike? And how did they learn to go to the toilet? Yes, the teachers are also parents, are teachers, maybe the most important teachers. And is there any parent here who has a story, maybe, if they can think of, who has learned something from their children? Oh, Margaret, good.
I learn from them still. I've been learning from them every day.
I didn't prime this. She did this completely on her own. This is the perfect answer. We are all learners, and we are all teachers. And later on in the service, we're going to hear about a teacher and a learner. Chris is going to tell us a little bit more about who they are. But for now, we're going to stand again and praise the Lord in song.
Please stand with me.
So, as I settle myself, would you just please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, we have just heard one of the most thrilling stories in the Gospels, and there's so much in it. My plan today is to give you a bit of a global look at the teacher-student relationship between Jesus, the Messiah, and Simon, who would later be called Peter, what how these relationships have been in the Gospel of Matthew, and looking at what Peter has experienced as a student of his rabbi or teacher, as well as looking at it from what it shows us about Jesus. Now, I've used two names, Simon and Peter, and they're both the same guy. At the time of this story, he's actually still technically Simon, although the gospel refers to him as Peter, so I'm just going to refer to him as Peter too, because otherwise I will get very confused. So, I have to say, I found myself going a bit down a rabbit hole at looking at Peter, making a listing of him that almost filled an entire A4 of where he appears in the various gospel stories. It's easy to build up a picture of him because we have so much information. He's passionate, he's eager, he's got great leadership skills, he's got big emotions, and sometimes, like in this story, big triumphs followed closely by big letdowns, or let's just say big failures. So far in Matthew's gospel, we've seen a good bit of his early story. He was called very early on in Jesus' ministry. And just a little sideway, in Luke's gospel, there's actually this story of this miraculous catch of fish that brings Peter to his knees, saying, "I am a sinful man." But Jesus is like, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And then he actually watched his mother-in-law be healed from some sickness that had kept her bedridden. He watched more miracles happen. He's heard fabulous teachings. The Sermon of the Mount is included, and he was there. He heard it. He's already actually seen Jesus calm the storm while out in a boat. And he's even gone on a short-term mission trip all by himself. Well, actually with one of his buddies. And he's preached and healed and cast out demons by himself. And just before this, he's been part of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. So, going into this story that Lynn just read from Matthew, he is absolutely on a high. Peter shows amazing faith. And as excitable as he is when Jesus shows up, he blurts out, "Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come out and walk on the water." Does anybody here have the boldness that you might have just asked the same thing? Anyone? Would any of you been like the other disciples that stayed, that were in the boat, like, "Oh, Peter, Simon, what were you doing? Oh, how embarrassing." Okay. Anyways, Jesus just tells him to come. And the amazing thing is he gets out of the boat and he starts walking. He showed faith and it was rewarded. But the next thing that happened is also identifiable. He got distracted. He started paying more attention to the wind and the chaos of the storm happening around him than who was standing in front of him. So he sank. Does that happen to us, too? When we take our eyes off of Jesus and become of the chaos that is surrounding us? And honestly, when it came to trying to focus myself on what to talk about today, I found myself doing the same thing. I was so excited by how Peter is so identifiable, open mouth, insert foot, that I lost sight of the Jesus who is always trying to reach us, to teach us, to love us, and to transform us. I was so excited when I saw that Oliver had picked out "Good, Good Father" as one of the songs today. Because we need to remember that Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. And so Jesus is always showing the patient love of the Father, who wants to teach us well and wants us to learn well. So, let's go back and remind ourselves of who Jesus is by taking a look at his part in those stories that I summarized earlier. Jesus called Simon. He has been the one who has given the miraculous catch of fish. which brought Simon to his knees. Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus has performed many miracles and given amazing teachings. Jesus has calmed the storm. Jesus has commissioned the disciples and sent them out and given them the ability to preach and heal. And Jesus is the one who has turned a young boy's picnic of 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast that fed 5,000 men plus women and children, showing his amazing compassion and care, which is what Harrison preached on last week. And today, our reading starts with, let me just see, because Lynn read from the N.T. Wright translation, and I've gone from a different version. So it's immediately, right away, at once, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. What does this tell us about Jesus, this immediately, at once? It says that Jesus is not about to stand still, and he doesn't want his disciples standing still either. He sends the disciples on because he's got a plan, as all good teachers do. And then, after he dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, we might want to gloss this over. Of course, Jesus prayed. But he took time after his big ministry event, after healing the sick, after teaching and then performing this incredible miracle of provision, he didn't go and take a nap. He went up to the mountainside to pray. Prayer is part of the preparation for all that Jesus does, because he's teaching his disciples and he's training up those who would be the apostles. And when evening came, he was there alone. Later it says, and early in the morning, he came walking to them on the sea. Evening, early morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. What has happened? He prayed for a really long time before walking out to the disciples. We do hear a little bit about the disciples' side of the story. The boat was battered by the waves, far from the land. The wind was against them. And then when they saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But immediately, at once, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And that's the next important thing to see about Jesus. He does not want his disciples to be afraid. A good teacher is always about encouraging his students, especially when the going is getting tough. And this leads us back to Peter's big moment. He received that encouragement, and he summoned up his courage, and he answered, "Lord, it is you command me to come to you on the water." Peter knows enough about Jesus at this point to know that Jesus can do anything, and that if Jesus is the one commanding him, he himself will be able to do it in the power of Jesus. He's learned that much already. Jesus says, "Come." Jesus, the teacher, is ready and willing to let Peter step out in faith, because all experience is learning experience. And it does start so well. Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water, comes towards Jesus. It's so precious, this is, because his faith is rewarded. And Peter is able to do something amazing because Jesus is calling him to it. Until the mistake happens. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. Let me just stop there. How did he notice the strong wind? He took his eyes off Jesus. Okay, I need to make just a little confession. As a mother, I've heard that I'm a teacher too, I might have just a way of nagging, speaking to my children when I want them to do something that they ought to know how to do, but I definitely want them to do it in a particular way, that is, the right way, my way. I found myself actually doing it this week with my youngest, who is almost 20. And I thought, oh, Chris, this isn't good. And so I tried to laugh it off by apologizing and calling myself micromanaging mom, MMM. Okay. And when I think about this story, part of me is like, Jesus, why didn't you say, Peter, look at me. I want you to look in my eyes. If you look at me, everything will be all right. But, and I think that because I want everything to go perfectly the first time around. I don't want there to be any mistakes. But Jesus didn't do that because he's a much better teacher than I am. He is not going to micromanage us. He knows, and he knew then, that there was a chance that Peter was going to lose his focus. And he knew that it was going to be all right in the long run because he was there. And he knew that mistakes are fine because it is the time that we probably learn the best. It's our teachable moment. Sometimes we learn more from sinking and being pulled up again than we do from doing it right the first time. Okay, now we get back to the story. Because as soon as he became frightened and he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately, at once, reached out his hand and caught him. Jesus is there to pick us up when we need to be picked up. This was a life-threatening thing. Jesus pulled Peter out because, as many fishermen will tell you, they don't learn how to swim for some reason. I don't understand it, but anyways. And it's only after Jesus has pulled him up that he says to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus is still the rabbi. He's still working with his disciples. He's still working with Peter. He's still working with us. And frankly, asking questions is one of the best ways of teaching. Maybe this was his way of reminding him that he's dealt with the stormy seas in the past. In Matthew's gospel, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 8. We're at chapter 14 now. And finally, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And again, Jesus showed his authority over the natural elements and calms the storm. And the disciples, what did they do? Those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They have all learned an important lesson. We've just watched Jesus do the following. He doesn't waste time. He leads his disciples and he also tells the followers what to do. He prays and prepares. He walks on water. He encourages and relieves the fears of his students. He responds positively to Peter's somewhat outrageous request to walk because it was a teachable moment. He saved Peter when he sank. He gently rebuked Peter and asked a searching question to help Peter reflect on the experience. That's what a good teacher does. He showed the authority over the storm and accepted the worship of his followers. This is the Jesus that we also follow. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the beginning and the end. He's so much more than a good teacher, but he is always a good teacher. And Peter, well, he just continues to learn from his experiences. He's got faith, he's willing to step out in faith, and when it all goes wrong, he's willing to ask for help, and he's willing to accept correction. Just take a quick look to look further in the story of how Peter learns and, more importantly, how Jesus teaches. Most of us already know the story. We've heard it in bits and bobs. Simon finally earns the name of Peter after correctly identifying Jesus as the Messiah. And then shortly thereafter, tries to tell Jesus that he's wrong because he shouldn't be crucified, he shouldn't die, and he gets one of the harshest rebukes that you ever hear from Jesus talking to his disciples. Get behind me, Satan. But then right after that, he gets to see Jesus transfigured, speaking to Moses and Elijah on the mountain. And then he's so scared, he runs at the mouth and says something about building shelters and all that. And then actually the Father speaks directly to that. This is my son, listen to him. He claims he will stand by Jesus no matter what. And then he falls asleep when Jesus asked him to stay awake and pray. And then he denies Jesus 3 times during the night of his trial, just like Jesus had said. We can sum it up by saying that Peter continues to mix doing really well and messing up pretty badly. But Jesus doesn't let him go. He continues to hold on to Peter. The gospel record of Peter ends in John 21 with Jesus restoring Peter and renewing his calling. First, do you love me? 3 times. And each affirmative response gets a commission. And then, follow me. If you look at all of Peter's mistakes and missteps and how Jesus responds, we realize that we actually don't need to worry so terribly much when our mistakes and our missteps happen, so long as we follow what Peter did. We follow Jesus. When he does something that makes us recognize our own sinfulness, we confess. When Jesus does something that relieves one of our worries, we keep following him and we give thanks. When Jesus calls you to go out into the mission field, do it. And then come back and tell him about it. When you're filled with faith, step out of the boat. And when you sink and you realize you took your eyes off Jesus, call out to him and ask him to save you. And when he does, hold on tight. When he rebukes you, accept it and stay with him. Even after you've done or said something stupid, stay with him. Even when you have failed him, stay with him. Whatever we do, whatever goes right or wrong, we stay with Jesus. We confess if we need to. We confirm our love for him and affirm our faith in him, and we keep following. Whew. That's probably enough for now. We're going to take a moment to just reflect on our own lives, where we are now, where we have been this week, maybe more weeks if it's been a while since we've been to church. And then we're going to have a simple way of saying sorry before we go into another song that will just help us reflect on who Jesus is as a teacher in our lives. Just give us a moment here. We could have the next screen. We pray together. God, we come to you as we are. We acknowledge that we have fallen short in thought, word, and deed. We have not always loved well or lived wisely. Thank you that your mercy is greater than our failures. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in the way of life. Amen. And may the God of love bring us back to himself and forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.